It's 3:31:15.
It's a charm. Sharon Lipinski, how are you?
Oh, can you hear me? Because I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, no, it was just a bad phone. Bad phone.
Wonderful.
All right, so you are a generosity expert. I'm curious, as you were growing up, did someone say, Sharon, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you said, a generosity expert.
No.
I say that only because you're the first one I've met.
Yes, well, I will say that I grew up with a great example. My mother's first response in any situation was to ask, how can I help? And I did not live up to her example, and it took me a long time to even admit that. And then I had this experience where I took an older gentleman out for Thanksgiving dinner because we were both in the area and we didn't know anyone.
Right.
And he just got to talk about his life, and I realized, you know, it really is these small acts of generosity that make this world a better place. And that moment of looking across the table and seeing, you know, a father and a man and a human being just really convinced me that I wanted to make giving a part of my daily, regular life.
And teaching others how to give as well, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So I get calls from these people from time to time who want me to donate, but they lead by saying, trying to tell me that I donated last year and can they count on me again this year? And I always point out to them, I've never given to your organization in my life. And they sort of argue with me as though, of course you did. I mean, I know who I give to and who I don't. And I get these calls from people. And I think in a lot of cases, they're professional fundraisers who keep the bulk of the money. Is that fairly common still?
It is fairly common. And one of the mistakes that people make when they donate is that they are reactionary givers. They wait until they're asked either by a mailing or a phone call or a friend or family member or something going on at work before they decide, you know, before they decide whether or not to give. And that reactionary giving is going to end up with problems. You're going to end up giving to a charity who's spending most of their money on fundraising. You're going to end up giving to a charity, for example, let's say the Livestrong Foundation. If what you want to do is support cancer research, well, you're going to be very disappointed because that's not what the Livestrong Foundation does.
What do they do?
What they do is they provide support to the people and families going through cancer at that moment. Now, that's important, but if that's not what you want to fund, you're going to be disappointed. But because you just kind of reacted to them coming at you and asking for a donation, you don't know that.
Another one you have on the list here is the ASPCA. You might think that's going locally, but it doesn't.
No, the ASPCA does primarily international work for lobbying for laws and things like that. They do support local animal shelters a little bit, but if what you want to do is support the people down the street from you who are rescuing dogs and cats, again, you're going to be disappointed.
What's the other one that has United States or U.S. in the title? And it's an SPCA. They're actually a lobbying group in D.C. You think you're doing something for animals, but they're actually lobbying, for one thing, against animal abuse, but they also are not wild about people even keeping pets. It's like the opposite of what you think. Humane Society of the United States, that's what I'm thinking of. Humane Society of the United States.
Yeah, so it's important that you figure out, you know, what do you want to accomplish with your donation, and then go looking for the charities that are going to accomplish what it is that you want to accomplish.
Another example here, and this could fool anybody, you have the Paralyzed Veterans of America and the Paralyzed American Veterans. What's the difference in those two charities?
Okay, so one of them is a congressionally chartered charity, and one was founded just to rip you off. And this is a warning sign. When charities have similar names, you need to take a step back and do a little extra research to find out what's going on here. Are these legitimate? Sometimes, and in the case of Paralyzed Veterans of America, the organization was started with a similar name to capitalize on this other organization's success. You know, so you have to go and check the websites and make a couple phone calls and make sure, you know, that you know which one it is that you want to support.
So if I started, a fraud called Red Crosses, you know it's not the same as Red Cross. Or
yes,
Mike's Red
see.
Cross. Don't give to Mike's Red Cross. Give to the Red Cross.
Yeah, and so you can see how easily it is to be confused when charities have similar names.
You're a big believer, I would assume, in giving of your time as opposed to money.
Well, there are very different benefits to giving time and money, and it's important to give both. And the example that I like to give to kind of help illustrate how different they are is to imagine that your neighbor knocks on your door and says, hey, you know, I'm moving this weekend. Could you come help us out for a few hours this weekend loading up the truck?
My back hurts.
Right. Like that, you could be thinking, God, that's just the way I want to spend my afternoon this weekend. But just notice how you feel when they're asking for your time, and if it feels different if your neighbor knocks on the door and says, hey, can you give me $50 to help make ends meet until next payday? Does that feel different to you?
It certainly does.
Yeah. And so because they are different, when you give money and you give time, they benefit you differently. And that's really, I mean, you know, giving is nice for other people, but giving is also really important for us and our own well-being. We give just as much to help other people as we do ourselves.
I think for a lot of people, it's just more convenient to give money, and your facts bear it out, because we give monetarily $335 billion a year as Americans. Our volunteered time is worth $175 billion a year. So I think for a lot of people, it's a lot easier to slide someone a 20 or a 50 or a 100 or whatever than it is to actually spend 2 hours with whatever, Habitat for Humanity or anybody else.
Yeah, you know, and if you find yourself in a position where you have more time than money, then give more time. And if you have more money than time, give more money. But do try to find a way to give a little bit of both. Without underestimating all the different ways that you do give your time, a lot of people don't give themselves credit for the giving that they're already doing.
60% of charities are not required to file the IRS Form 990. Number one, what's the 990? And number two, why don't they have to file it?
So the 990 is the tax form sent to the IRS that details how much revenue they've gotten, where that revenue is coming from, whether it's donations or fees for services, grants, things like that.
Plus and overhead, then administration, and all that stuff.
Exactly. Advertising expenses. All of that stuff is listed on the 990s. However, charities under a certain size are not required to file this document.
What's that size?
It used to be $50,000 in revenue, and I think they've lowered it now to $25,000 in revenue. So that's still, most charities in this country are actually very small charities.
If you're saying 60% of charities in this country up until recently did not bring in $50,000 a year?
That's correct.
Wow.
And it doesn't mean that they're not doing important work that you should support, but it does mean that checking those documents is going to be a very difficult way for you to know where is that money going to. So you want to call that charity and ask them where they're getting their money from, about how much is it, what are they spending it on, what are your prospects for the future. Those kind of conversations are going to take the place of reviewing the actual tax documents.
And if you get, I mean, number one, I make it a point not to either buy or give to anyone who calls me on the phone.
I think that's a good rule.
And particularly, and this hasn't happened to me, but it has happened to others, when they say they'll come by and pick up the donation. That's like the biggest red flag, isn't it?
You know, there are things, I don't ever like to donate in cash. Cash cannot be tracked. And it's shocking how often those donation jars, you know, you see them in the gas stations and coffee shops, you know, donate money here, how often those get stolen. So if you really want to make sure that your donation is going to get to where it's going to go, you want to donate by check or credit card, because that can be tracked and those transactions can be reversed.
You might not have the answer to this, I don't know, but at some retail outlets, I'll be asked upon checkout, and it's happened twice to me in 2 weeks, would you like to donate a dollar to, you know, whatever, kids clinging to cliffs? And they don't suggest they're going to match it. They just ask if you want to donate. I would assume that they collect that money for a year and then donate it and take the tax write-off. Do you know if any of those retail outlets match what you give or what they do with that money?
Oh, Mikey, that is an excellent question, and I actually don't know the answer to it right now. I will say, this kind of comes back to this rule of reactionary giving. It's better for you to have a plan with what it is that you want to accomplish than just giving money to whoever asks it. So,
I think part of it is trying to make you look like a heel for saying no in front of everybody else in line. They're going for the peer pressure part of it.
Yeah, it's a very effective way to raise money on their part. I don't know if it's the best way for you to give money.
No, I think it's a horrible way to give money. Unless they're matching it. If they say, we'll match you dollar for dollar, okay, well, now I'm doing more good than I would have, so here's my dollar. But if they're not doing that, and I get the impression they're not, all they're doing is making money off that charity by donating what customers left and taking the write-off. Now, the charity is going to be that retail outlet. They're taking the write-off.
And I'm sure if they were matching it, they would be advertising that all over the place.
Right.
So I think you're probably right.
So I think it's a bad idea. And then I know there are websites where you can sort of rank the quality of a given charity, and some would be marked, you know, don't give at all. And it seems to me, the last time I looked, there are a lot of, we mentioned the paralyzed veterans. Aren't there a lot of them that sort of, whatever, rip off a version of the name of a police association or a fire association?
Oh, yeah. And again, and those are the people who are calling you. So avoid, you know, donating to people who are calling you without doing some extra research. And there are wonderful resources online. You can go to GuideStar to get the IRS documents. You can go to Charity Navigator. The Better Business Bureau reviews charities, Philanthropedia. But you need to remember that these are only starting points, and each online source kind of has their limitations. So kind of start there, get a feel for what's going on. And then my favorite tip for researching a charity is to just call them. You know, give them a call and ask, hey, you know, what's going on and what are your